Everybody. So let's just recap what we did 2 weeks ago. And let's go back to the idea. The idea is the following. The Ramchal, we are now studying the Ramchal. The Ramchal is the Moshe Chaim Lutzato. And his view of the world is the following, which follows all the Kabbalistic thought. That the world was supposed to have two stages. The stage of the source of the trunk, what he calls the trunk or the roots, which are called the stem cells. And then you have the leaves or the branches, which is the second stage of creature. And the reason is, the why he sees this model, is because how God presents himself to us, he also presents us in his image into a two-stage process. One of them is called the Moichin, it's called the intellect, God's thought, the plan, and then the other one is the actualization of the plan, actually making it happen. But there's always a dream, a plan, and making it happen. So that is a concept that repeats throughout. In Chazal, God presents us with the face of a father and a mother. It's called the Abba Ve'ima. And then, which is the stage of the planning, is when he tells us the master plan. And then, when he brings to realization, it's called the son and the daughter. Like, it's like a familiar, it's like a family. God presents us as a family. You see, the family structure is so ingrained in us, because when God presents himself, he doesn't present himself as a male, he doesn't present us as a female, he presents himself as a family. Right? That is, by the way, how Christianity, we're going to see, took that idea into a concept that became Christianity. But that's how God presents himself. The unity of God presents himself to us as a unit of a family. That's why in Jewish terms, families are so important. But that family has two changes, the parents and the children. So the parents and the children, how God presents himself, is how humanity needed to be built. And says the Ramchal, the stage of the parents of the world, which are the trunks, the stem cells, goes all the way until the Tower of Babel, which is the Migdal Babel. Until the tower, the generation of a tower, is the construction of the trunk of the parents. These are the parents of the world. That's why, in our terms, it's extremely dangerous to go ahead and to take the Bible in the literal sense, in those generations. When people try to do something called concording. Concording is taking the Bible in the literal sense. Assuming God created the earth, and then he hung the tree, the stars and the moon, and that was exactly 6,000 years ago, and the world is 6,000 years. It's a very dangerous proposition. Because in Chazal, that's not how they understood it. First two parshas would describe the story of the building of the parents, of the forefathers of the universe, of the first stage of that family. It's not in the physical sense. It is the reality that reflected the physical sense, but it's talking in a different, perhaps a different dimension, in a different story, in a different reality. It's using our language, even though it's not the same reality. Because the Maharal says the cutoff is the Migdal. And why is the Migdal such an important aspect? And that's where we stopped last week. It's because the Migdal was when humanity tried to reach heaven. Right? They built a tower. And that tower was, the world was united, was unified in the concept of unity, that everybody was together. That unity, they try to become spiritual and try to elevate themselves into heaven. And that's why they wanted to, as if, battle with God. And the idea is that the humans believed, right, they got into a stage that they were ready to almost resemble God. The resemblance of Hashem is that moment, and that that moment is the split of the universe into different languages. A language is not only that they spoke, a language becomes an expression of the soul. Because each one at that time, those nations become the root, what we believe, of every nation in the world. And they become the forefathers of all the nations. And we are going to see today what is Avram versus the other nations. It's important. That's how we build the belief that humanity becomes humanity in different expressions of culture, language, appearance, and etc. At that moment, at that generation, the generation of the Migdal. That's Bolal Ish L'Shoina. That is the human uniqueness that you have in each and every person. And until then, are the prototypes. Or this people are called, these forefathers, in good English, are called archetypes. They are archetypes, right? That they become like every nation needs somebody. Now, are they physical and etc.? That's a separate debate. But they're clear images of archetypes that becomes almost the guiding light for future generations. And that's the Migdal Bavel, and that's at that moment on all the languages become split. Okay? So if we go in the second paragraph, we are in the middle. It's in the middle of the line. The line starts with the word Vikavam. And there is a period in the middle of the line. It's like almost in the middle of the paragraph. Vihine kifimashe unchuhem. And therefore it says, behold, as the people were made at that time, ken igzalim shubotzim atoldot. They created themselves, those archetypes, created a nature that became ingrained and transferred to the future generations. They created the DNA. That's the creation of the spiritual, what we believe, the spiritual, cultural DNA of the world that becomes passed on to future generations. That those archetypes were able to acquire a spiritual DNA that was passed on. Now you have, at that moment, they are archetypes. They are different archetypes in the world that they become the beginning of the civilized man. Now, you realize something interesting, right? We believe that the beginning of civilization, as we know, because we always talk, there is the Neanderthals and there are all different humanoids before. This is not what we're talking about. Migdal Bavel is when civilizations become. Because the man becomes civilized in different spiritual, cultural, sociological DNAs. And these archetypes become the form of the nations that come out. As people who came here the previous years, we learned a lesson. That moment, it's not a physical moment. Those are not 70 people like John Doe and Mary Doe. They get and they become these archetypes. Those are spiritual beings. The Torah, up to that moment, is talking in the spiritual dimension that has a different timeline and a different time speed than the physical. So it could be that this was a long time, and it took a long time. But that moment, in the spiritual sense, the spiritual DNA of every nation is built. And this becomes the beginning of civilized humanity. And that's the story that we count, that we can relate. We see different cultures. So this was a process that in the Shamayim they have. That's when we talk about their ministers in heaven. Every nation is a minister in heaven. What does that mean? It means that God relates to them. Those trunks, those archetypes, created a form of humans that they share some kind of a Jungian idea. It's almost a collective unconscious. If anybody here studied Jung, know there is a collective unconscious. this is built on our beliefs, right? That at that moment, there is a collective unconscious that those become these nations. They share a mystical collective unconscious. And that's defined at the moment of the tower. And that's why. So he says, and he continues, from now on, you have different collective unconscious. You have different species. The humans is not one species, it's several species. Each one has its nature, and each one has its own rules and understandings. That's why it's such an amazing thing that you have different people with different cultures. I'm not sure if people like, I think the beauty of the world, that there is a culture, there is a cultural aspect, a collective unconscious that is so different among different people. And that's why it's so interesting, America, the melting pot, and we're going to see this concept of that there is a concept that at the end of the days, those archetypes are going to be together to create perhaps a new developed culture that comes afterwards. But this is it. The same way you have different animals, you have different species, you have different species of humans. The species of humans were not created at the creation of the world, there was one human species. At the time of the Migdal, they were divided into several archetypes and species. And therefore, they have the ability now to procreate and to inherit those traits further. Like all the other animals. The same way there were many animals, there are many fish. In humans, there are several archetypes. The problem is like this. Most nations never had a quantum leap. They remained in the same basic stage of Adam after the Chet. So they became humans. So the civilization, well, some people are more attuned. They are more industrious. Some people are less industrious. They're different kinds of people. But they are all humans. But they never stepped back into a higher stage. They continue becoming the Adam after the Chet. They never went higher than that. So they became humans. So if we think like this, you know, some people say we are the sons of Adam. That already doesn't work because we had the Mabel. So we call people the Bnei Noach, the children of Noach. But according to what you're seeing here, we are not the children of Noach. We are the children of the generation of the split, the generation of the tower. This is where we are. We are the people of the tower. That's why Avraham Avinu, Chazal always say, he is the remnant of the tower. He was, everybody knows, he was the age of 48. Chazal have to tell you that he had the biological age of 48. Everybody knows the 48, you're going to see, those are the 48 kinyonim shatera niknes, the 48 ways of acquiring the Torah. That was, he was 48 when that happened. The Avraham Levado, out of all those archetypes, there was only one archetype that was able to make and to jump a quantum leap. And he went into a different stage of Adam. He was the one who leaped above. He became Adam, not before the Chet, the Adam after the Chet. And therefore he became a different kind of being at that moment. He was the one who went into something from Le Shabbos, Ma'arat HaMachpelah. The Ma'arat HaMachpelah is that idea. What is the Ma'arat HaMachpelah? The Ma'arat HaMachpelah is a double cave. So Chazal have a machloket, whatever discussion, what's a double cave? Do they have a chamber and an inner chamber? Or do they have two floors, the bottom floor and the top floor? Who cares? That's what they find. What? The architecture? But the Ma'arat HaMachpelah in Tikkun Zohar, this is the entrance to Gan Eden. When Adam was kicked out of Gan Eden. So the world of physical doesn't connect to the world of spiritual. Right? He was kicked out. He can't come back. There were angels protecting it, not allowing him to come back. However, there was a back door. There was a area that allowed that connection. That's Me'arat HaMachpelah. Me'arat HaMachpelah is that the outer chamber and the inner chamber are resemblance of each other. That's why the Gemara says in Baba Batra that you don't have to measure the inner chamber, because the outer chamber is the same size as the inner chamber. Kimidat chitzonit kach midat apnimit. Kimidat, you don't have to measure the second floor, because the second floor is the same size as the first floor. When they went to measure it, so Rabbanah, they told him, don't measure the inner chamber or the upper chamber. It's the same size as the lower chamber. What does that mean? The idea is that the world of physical becomes resembling the world of spiritual. This is Avram. Avram Avinu said, you know something? I want to go beyond here. I want to go back to where Adam was in the Gan Eden. I can't go there, but I want to resemble that. He was the one who was looking for something more. And therefore, Avram Avinu becomes a human in a different distinction of the species of regular humans. He's the one who enters into Me'arat HaMachpelah. That's why the word Chevron comes from the word Chibur, connection. This is the connection. This is the door. This is the back door to Gan Eden. That you don't have to go. But there is a world of reciprocity. That whatever happens here is a reflection of there. This is only for Adam. Because Adam was looking for something more. Avram was looking for something more. That's why there were many tzaddikim before. We know the Chazal, one tzaddik, no Chanoch. But Chanoch was the one who actually leaped back. He didn't stay here, so he wanted to go back. They took him back. And Chazal make two more people who became like a Rosh Hashiva at that time, called Shem Vaever. We're going to see who Shem Vaever was. What did they have to make them Rosh Hashivas? Meaning the Torah doesn't talk about them. They become a Rosh Hashiva at that time. Okay, what's the set? We'll see, we'll learn. But they never did this leapfrog. They wanted to be humans, but the humans should be like Adam before the Chet. That yearning to be higher is the one that creates humans in the resemblance of Gan Eden. So, Adam HaRishon was in Gan Eden, was expelled. All the nations and all the humans now live a physical life, a life here. There is one human who wants something more, the archetype of Avram, he wants something more. So he wants to go back to Gan Eden, but the door is closed. Chanoch decided, okay, I give up, take me there, and that's it. Avram says, I want to stay here, but I want to be here into Gan Eden. How does he do that? With Me'arat HaMachpelah. Me'arat HaMachpelah is that this world becomes a resemblance of the world to come. And this is Avram. I always tell people, this is such an important message, and we're going to see the repetition of here again and again and again. We tell people, you keep Torah mitzvahs because there is Olam Haba, and Olam Haba you're going to get it. People, that's not Avram. Avram Avinu is that here becomes Olam Haba. We keep Torah. Olam Haba there is the icing on the cake. That here should be Olam Haba. That you live a life which is so fulfilled that you're living Olam Haba here. Vashem berach et Avram bakol. That's the goal. Me'arat HaMachpelah ki midat ha-tachtona kach midat eliona. The outer chamber should be exactly the same size as the inner chamber. That's Avram Avinu. Avram says, I want to be a human who's bigger. That yearning for the bigger is what makes Avram unique, and that's the archetype of the world, of the Jewish nation. We're going to see that this becomes, in some ways, an archetype of all humanity, Chazal understand. But this is the archetype of humans, so there are many nations, many civilizations. There is one civilization who wants to go back to Adam. And the way to go back to Gan Eden is to make here resemble Gan Eden. The one who does that is Avram. That's the Chiddush of Avram. We live a Torah life. You know, when a life, Torah life is fulfilled, we all yearn for Olam Haba. But our yearning should be to turn here into Olam Haba. Olam Chati Rebechayecha. I have to just digress. People know Nora Ephron. I have to mention her. So Nora Ephron was sick. She knew she was going to die. Everybody knows she was a great director. She wrote a play right before her death. And I'll tell you the line story, of just for you to see. And it shows that she has, I always say, a Jewish soul. Let me tell you the story. She says like this. It was a poet that is writing a poem before he dies. She's talking about the pogroms. But let me tell you the story. The story is a guy who sleeps at night and he has a dream that he's dead. So he wakes up, he thinks that he's dead. So he starts saying Kaddish on himself. And you know, for somebody who's not religious, to say Kaddish on himself is like the biggest sacrilege. So she feels like this guy, this poet, wakes up, he's like, oh, shaken, says, I have to go to the rabbi. So he goes to the rabbi, and he sees the rabbi learning outside the shul. So he gets the rabbi, says, Rabbi, hi, I would like to ask you something. Why you're outside? He says, yes, because I usually have a minyan, I have a quorum of people to daven, and they didn't show up, so I'm learning outside. He says, let me ask you something, Rabbi. Did you see today the sunrise? The rabbi thinks to himself, says, no, I didn't see it. So the guy asks him, don't you think it's funny that you went to the show, the people didn't show up? You didn't even see the sunrise. Isn't that funny? He says, no. I say, you put the two together, that's not funny. People didn't come because there's no sunshine. So this guy tells the rabbi, Rabbi, I think we're all dead. That's why nobody shows up. So the rabbi starts thinking, one second, let me just think about it. I've been here learning. You know something? I don't think I'm dead, but possibly I'm dead. Look at the message. For somebody who's learning, life here or life there makes no difference. So indeed, the rabbi didn't know if he was dead or alive. That's the goal of Avram. That the midat ha-chitzonah, the out chamber, should be the exact same size as the inner chamber. This idea of humans want to get something more, to go back to Gan Eden, is to make here resemble Gan Eden. And then you get to actual Gan Eden, but it's the same process. This is Avram, and that's why Avram leaped that. He didn't want to go back. He wanted to make here look like there. And this is the archetype of Avram. So explains him, and he says, V'az nitchalek ha'olam la'inomot. The world becomes divided in 70 human species. From those 70 archetypes becomes 70. And 70 becomes an operative number. Realize that 70 is a number. Chazal are very unique on the numbers. And the numbers are very consistent. And we're going to see that 7 is the concept of the world of nature. Right? Nature is always 7 because there are 6 dimensions that we can relate to. The dimensions of length, dimensions of width, dimensions of depth, 2 of each. And we have 3 dimensions of time, past, present, and future. So if you take 3 dimensions of time and 3 dimensions of space, together 6 dimensions. And 7th is the spiritual dimension that runs it. So all 7 is always nature. 3 dimensions of space, 3 dimensions of time, and the point that makes it run. So the nations of the humans, which are natural, which are the civilizations, which are humans, they're 70. Kol echad b'agregah. Each one has his own traits, his own characteristics, his own spiritual DNA. Aval kulam b'bchinen moshi b'shivuto. But those are humans, and humans in the human plane. V'Yisrael b'bchinat inushut b'ilo. But Avram is the one who creates a superhuman. That's it, the superman is the Jewish concoction, right? The Superman was made by Jews. Because this is the first Superman, right? The one who wants to be higher. He wants to be something more. He wants to go back to be that Adam before. And this is the end of the archetypes. That's why the world becomes physical and history becomes a development of those civilizations bringing about what they came. And now it starts world history. World history starts from Avram. That's why in Chadorim, the minhag was to start learning, from where? From Parshas Lech Lecha. Because Parshas Lech Lecha is the Jewish story, as we know. Before, those are spiritual archetypes that created humans. Very hard to understand the process because it didn't happen just in the physical sense. The Torah is talking about a higher plane. It's called the plane of archetypes. Even though it appears to be, and that's what Ramchal says, Keviatem Tor. Even though it looks the story of the Mabul, the same as our story of Avram, people read Parshas Noach and Parshas Lech Lecha 1 week after the other. And they are thinking, they are saying the exact same thing. Meaning, if you go there, it's like someplace in America, to build a humongous ark. And people think there was like a huge ark, and that's what it was. There was Noah, an old guy, building an ark. And that's the ark, the physical ark. Says, no, be'emet einenu kach. Don't ever make a mistake. Up to Parshas Lech Noach, which is the story of the Migdal, those are the archetypes. Elak ad afloga, until the generation of the tower, hayazman shorshei enoshu. This is the story of the archetypes, of the roots, of the DNA of humanity. V'nit galgalu avir b'chazo, and all the stories is creating the archetypes. That's the building of the archetypes. So don't ever think that this is the same story as us. This is the building of the quote-unquote parents. Okay, shigia ketz hazmano, when that finished in the tower, nikva davar kefi mishpat. The archetypes are finished. V'itchiz man acher shuzman anafim. Then you start the story of civilization. Shoden ubota. And this is the same language as us. This is a very important Ramchal. That there is a methodological issue that all of us have to understand. That the story until the Paloga, until the tower, it's the story of the archetypes. It's the story of how humanity becomes constructed. Those are almost, I don't want to use this language, but I'm going to use, but again, don't take it, it's foundational myths. A foundational myth. Foundational myth. But it's not a myth, because you have to understand what myth is. A foundational myth is the stories of archetypes, or stories that define a nation. You share a collective unconscious. But those are stories that, in many cultures, like frankly, like Washington and the Apple, they are stories which are not made-up stories, but they are myths. But they define who we are. Every nation, Gilgamesh, many, so many stories out there that nation defines. Says Ramchal, Chas v'Shalom is not a myth. They happened, but they didn't happen in the physical sense. That's the story of the archetypes. How this thing reflects in the world of physical, it's for sure literal, but not in the physical sense. And therefore, says Ramchal, the story of up to Dora Paloga, that's called the cutoff, is the story of the parents, but they're like God's best plan. And then becomes our story, the civilizations. And that's important because once we understand that, life has a totally different meaning. And you realize that those stories is what our mission and goal is in this world. And that's what we're going to understand who Avraham is. Now, in Chazal, the Ramchal is not mentioning here, but Avraham, which is this human who wants to become a superhuman. In essence, it's not only the Jewish people, because Avraham becomes a paradigm and becomes an archetype of the human yearning for spirituality, to go back into the Adam of Gan Eden in all the nations. Out of the 70 humans, which are 70 nations, physical civilizations and cultures, that we divide into 70, in essence, there are 72. Interestingly enough, that if you look in Chazal, there is this idea of consilience. Let me explain what consilience is. Consilience is the concept that you see that the world was created in a world that not only that everything is harmonious, everything fits, everything is consistent, but much more. The world are repetitions of the same ideas. In other words, a concept. The world is one basic concept translated into millions of forms and millions of applications, but all one concept. The concept of 70. 70 is the reality, as I told you, in unfolding in this world. If you take the nations, the archetypes are 70. The days of the week are 7. That's the natural rule of the world. The Sanhedrin, our Jewish Supreme Court, also 70 people, right? Because they are the ones who rule how the world of physical should be run. But if you look into the Jewish court, it's not 70, it's really how many? It's 72, right? There was a head of the court, of the Jewish court, and was the Nasi outside of the court. The Nasi, it's very interesting in Jewish history. If you analyze the Sanhedrin, how Chazal portrayed the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin always had 71 or 72. Because the question is if this extra person was outside or inside. It's called the Zugot. They were the pairs. The pairs were the Zugot. The Zugot was always a Nasi and an Abedin. Nasi is the prince of the court, and the Abedin is the head of the Jewish court. These two heads of the court, sometimes they were outside of the court, the Nasi, sometimes it was inside the court. But this becomes in Jewish history. God's names, how many, the higher, the most defined of God's names, there's 72 names. 70 names, which are the names, and two of them, which are the sources of the name, is Ani Vahu. Anybody knows that when we do the Hoshanot, we say Ani Vahu Hoshiana. Ani and Vahu are the two of the 70 names, and those two are the heads of the names. The nations are also. There are 70 nations, and there are two nations which are above them of the 70. Who are they? That Ishmael and Esav. Those are the two children of Avram which don't become Jewish. That's why Abraham is such an important... If you go and you study, I study comparative religion. Something I was interested in doing my PhD is on comparative religion. I wanted to say, because I think religion is this yearning of humans that every sociologist tries to understand why humans seek religion. Right? It is a social and a humane thing that they try to see something more. Meaning this for the beginning of civilized humanity, we see that. There's so many social studies done on that. But clearly, half of the world are Abrahamic religions. And we're going to learn about them. The Abrahamic religions, Avram, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, you will be Av Hamon Goyim, you will be the father of many nations. The only person in the world, from the world history of civilization, that is the father of many nations till today, is Avram. Nobody has more than 3 billion children who directly assume that they are children of somebody. Descendants who have a common heritage. Like we know that there's MCA, there's like the most common ancestor, which is just a mathematical function. There is a most common ancestor that we have, all of us. And it's Avram. We all know that Islam and Christianity directly see themselves as continuing Avram's legacy. That's clear. That's their story. In Chazal, I mentioned last time, the Radal writes that the Bnei Keturah, the children of Keturah, of Avram, the Pasuk says, Vayishlachem kedma el eretz kedem. He sent them to the east. And I mentioned to you last time, the Pirkei Rabbeleizer says, he told them you should go as far east as you can go. Not the Pirkei Rabbeleizer, but the Midrash. He said, as far east as you can go. And said the Radal, they went all the way until they reached into a nation or land that was surrounded by a wall. And it says, these are the people of China till today. Okay, this is what Chazal say. But if anybody reads Hinduism or Buddhism, which is the reformulating of Hinduism, it is just scary how similar it is to us. I even wrote in my paper, I remember that I took Tibetan Buddhism. And I wrote a paper comparing the theories of the Buddha, the original Pali writings, to the Ramchal. Interesting, the Ramchal that we are learning. And it is fascinating, the similarities. And these people didn't know each other. They didn't talk to each other. They didn't have the same language. They probably thought, and they are talking the same thing. So I remember the professor, right, at Columbia, was asking me, how is it possible? Meaning, like, it's very funny. So it could be, his view was, that if you look at the world deep enough, those are truisms in the world, which is very possible. But it's also possible because Avram is the one who gave humanity the ability of having a Merata Machpelah. So his direct descendants, Birkas Avram, is the Jewish people. But that emanated to all of humanity. Some of them directly, through what's called the replacement theologies. and some of them indirectly by osmosis, which are the Eastern civilizations. So in this course, we'll talk about the direct the Abrahamic religions, and we'll talk about the other cultures, because there's so many cultures in the East, meaning half of the world is there, right? Between them, half of the world, if you don't look at the African continent, the people we have are all there. And it's something so similar that they share so many ideas, and all these ideas are scarily similar. So this is how we view Avraham. So he writes in the end, the same. This is the Ramchal. I told you that's how they're so comparable to Pali writings. God gave a opening for every other nation. They can actually go out. God created an opening for them that even though they are humans and very physical, they have the ability to extrapolate above. They have the ability to connect to the superhuman, which is Avraham. Avraham Avinu had direct descendants. We're going to see. But every human, he gave every human the ability to go into that portal, to connect to the world of spirituality. And that is the legacy of Avraham. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Avraham Avinu, you are Av Hamon Goyim. You opened the door here for us to get something bigger. To become Adam in Gan Eden and to bring Gan Eden here. To make this a resemblance of Gan Eden. So, and if you see, this was done in three stages. There is a direct descendant. At least that's how we understand, which is us. Okay, that's how we understand it. Then there is the replacement theologies of our way, which is the replacement theologies of the two heads of the nations. One of them is a replacement theology of Abrahamic called the Christian approach, which is called the replacement theology, saying that the world of the Old Testament was true up to a point and then became different. So in other words, there is truism until a point of time and then it changes. Or the world of Islam, which says that the Bible that was given to us was distorted, something called the Tahrif, by the Jewish people, and they are restoring it to the original form. So those are the two forms, how they want to connect to Avraham. So the first stage is direct, the Jewish people. People who are distortions in some way of that, who are trying to become the Jewish people in a different way. One saying that Jews were up to a point and then they changed. And the other ones will say that the Jews took that, but they distorted it, and really the story is different. And then the third level is by osmosis, which are the other nations who got Jewish idea, not even knowing that there were Jews in the world. There is this story about this a guy from St. Nicanendro. He's a guy who was a Christian, and he looks at the Bible, and he says, you know something, I think the Jewish people are great. And he says, you know something, he thought the Jewish people were dead. So he said, I'm going to be the continuation. God, he has a dream that is a true story. That he was in Italy. St. Nicanendro is a place in Italy that he's going to become Jewish. But so he decides to take, because he thinks there are no Jews, because he lives in a small village. So he decides to take the Torah Shebichtav and to follow it to the T to become a Jewish person. You realize that somebody who follows Torah Shebichtav, follows the Bible to the T, the last thing is Jewish. I think we have more to do with the Muslims. But be as it may, this guy, so it is a famous story with him and Mussolini. Anybody who wants to see, it's a very fascinating story. But I always say the Hindus, all the Asian societies, are exactly the opposite, right? They are the ones who never heard about Jews. But they have such Jewish ideas. So that's the third level of Rome. The people can get spirituality in that level. So Israel, the what's called replacement theologies, and the indirect theologies. And all share the same language. You can see how Givaldic it is. So that's what he says. That's why Hashem to Avraham, all the nations will be blessed of you. You open the door, the floodgates to everybody. So Avraham becomes the one that says that. But if they don't seize the opportunity, they're not going to get it. Everyone in the nations has the opportunity to become connected to God. If they don't seize the opportunity, they won't get it. And this is the Ramchal, or Ramchal understands the history of the world. And now we're going to start learning a little bit of Rome. We'll start now. We might have to stop in 8 minutes. Now we are going to move from the Ramchal into a thinker. Huh? We are going to see it's on the second side, Resis Elayla. Let me explain to you first a little bit who we're going to deal with. We just learned the Ramchal. Now we are going to see the course or the class is built on these parameters. We are going to learn text. I want to make sure that people understand how to read text. Because it's very important to read text. Because you'll see if you, hopefully you have a chance to review. And you'll see that I'm adding my own words into it. And maybe I'm missing the point. So I'd love to hear your impression how you read the text. But it's very important to read text. Now, what I'm combining are different thinkers who I think are in the same basic channel. In every Jewish thought, there are channels. What I'm trying to do is the channel of the mystical channel as it was mediated into very much modern language. Of the real Jewish mystical thinkers. And the idea of mysticism is the idea that I just told you, Merat HaMachpelah, that the world of physical resembles something much deeper. So they are explaining the deep realities out there. And that allows us to understand us better and to understand the world of God much better. Now, different people come from different schools. We know that the Zohar, this becomes in the 16th century, this is the famous change of the world. It's not only changed by us, it's changed by all nations. People become much closer to these mystical ideas, and there's a process of development. So the Ramchal, 18th century. We are going to see now a late 19th century thinker. And his name, I mentioned last time, is Rav Tzodok HaKohen Lublin. Rav Tzodok HaKohen Lublin, what makes him very, very interesting is that he is a 20th century thinker. He's an unbelievable person who was able to bring into very, I would say, modern terms, mystical ideas. And what's important about him, and I mentioned, I think, last time, he's a transitional figure. Transitional figure means that he was a regular person in the Lithuanian yeshiva, and he lived a Lithuanian life. He quotes the Gro, he quotes all the mystical thinkers of the Lithuanian school. And then he wanted to divorce his wife. The halacha is to divorce your wife if she wanted to stay married with him, and for some reason he thought that they had to break. So he had to go into four lands and five gather signatures of 100 rabbis to approve. That's the halacha of Heter Me'arabanim. And the story goes, himself writes, right? That he goes to Ishbitz, and the Rebbe of Ishbitz, the Me'a Shiloach, which was an amazing thinker, was giving a tish. So he had to wait for the tish. So this Litvisha guy, right, comes, and the Rebbe is giving a tish. He has to wait for the next morning for the Rebbe to sign the paper. So he decides to listen to the tish. And that was a transformative experience. He decided that he's going to become, to learn by the Me'a Shiloach. He becomes Hasidish. And he actually becomes a rabbi. Okay? This is somebody. So, and his books, he wrote many books, and the books are, there's a lot of scholarly work to write which ones belong to the Lita period, which ones belong to the transitional period that he was like morphing, and the pre-tzadik, right, who becomes like Hasidic Torah. So it's somebody very interesting that he has all the levels, and we're going to study different books of his to see how the language changes, but the ideas are all the same. Because Hasidut and the Lithuanian thinking of the Gro, the Reb Chaim Volozhiner, it's all the same. They argue in different, right, on the margin they might argue, but the bulk is the same. And I think he's a 20th century thinker and makes it much easier for us to understand and grasp in our own language. So now, by the way, parenthetically, Kabbalistic thought is very similar to Merat HaMachpelah. Let me tell you, Rav Chaim Vital writes that the Arizal told him, you have to, there's Shem Shomayim Yud Kei Vav Kei, Yud Kei Vav Kei, Merkabah 26. If you spell each letter, you could spell each letter with the same numerical value. Yud is Yud Vav Dalet, so Vav Dalet is 10, Yud is 10. Hey is Hey and Hey, so it's the same spelling. Vav is Vav and Vav. Hey is Hey and Hey. So if you spell Shem Shamayim that way, which is Yud Vav Dalet, Hey Hey, Vav Vav, Hey Hey, the numerical value is 52. That's called the double Shem. That's the Merat HaMachpelah.
that you have Hashem and you have the Milui Hashem. You could get that. So the Arizal told Reb Chaim Vital, you should always have that Shem. You are the Me'arat HaMachpila. You should always think the Shem in Beit. The Chavav, Yud Kivav, is spelled that way. Because the Arizal was all spirituality. He never wrote anything. Anything that he gave over the Arizal, in the 18 months that he was teaching, he gave over through Reb Chaim Vital. It's all mediated through Reb Chaim Vital. All the writings of the Arizal are through Talmidim. So he told me, you are my double. Right? I am the one, I'm the inner chamber, and you are going to be the one, the outer chamber, letting it go. Which is Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu is the outer chamber resembling the inner chamber. So Reb Chaim Vital said, the Me'arat HaMachpelah, and this idea of here, so all the Kabbalistic thoughts need to be mediated. It's the Shem Ben, based on, by the way, the Shem Ben is the Shem of Bina, Davar Mitoch Davar, that ideas need to be explained in different generations, in different forms. So that's why we are going to take the mediation of that school, of the school of Reb Tzadok, Ratzul Ramchal. So let's go, it says, the first word, Arba, is wrong. Minei Asagot V'drachim Alavot Hashem Yesh. There are several ways of how reaching God. Yesh Achad Akara Mitzat Shu Nivra V'yesh Bore. The first connection to the world of God is the realization that we are creatures and we're created. There is a source, there is a cause out there. V'zeu Asagat Avram Avinu L'Avashon. This was Avram. Avram, this archetype, was the realization of humans that life here comes from something higher. There is a higher connection. We are creatures and there is a creator out there. Shamru Chazal b'Nedarim Shekir et Boro. He is the one, you know that Avraham Avinu, if you define three words, Hekir et Boro. He recognized the creator. He gave the humans the feeling that the world just here is not enough. There is a creator. There is something more. The world, according to Avraham Avinu, is Bira Doleket, is a burning tower. And there is a Balabira. There is somebody out there. There is something more out there. This is what Avraham Avinu inherited to the world. He came to the realization that there is a creator. Says what? It's possible for the world to have no divine or spiritual power controlling it. This is what Avraham Avinu brought to the world, that yearning for something more. And this he inherited to all creations, that there is something more. They were created for a purpose. That they know that there is a creator. They're not just random stories, that there is something more. It's so interesting that this is such a natural tendency of humans. To the point, I thought that there's so many sociological studies, and maybe we discuss a little bit before afterwards, the sociological studies. Because for you to go ahead and to say that there is no God, it's almost like you have to prove it and to find the Big Bang Theory or whatever. But it's a natural trait, and that Avraham Avinu gave. That's what Hav Hamon Goyim, Sha'av Nechol Olam Kulo Shu'av V'Atchala L'Terurutzeh. He is the archetype who gave to humans that trait. Bechol olam kulo, ki kol olam kulo ki ish echad. Because like he says, all humans, all nature is one being. When one of them gets this connection, the whole world schleps, the whole world is carried over with him. Kmo derech mashal be'adam echad, kesheva alev itorer leize pe'ola. The same way when the heart does something, kol ifarim itorer mo. The same when the heart does something, the whole body reacts to it. So all of humanity was reacting to this prototype, which is called Avraham Avinu, the one that wanted to go to something more, to something beyond. Now this is inherited to the whole world. This idea that you want to something beyond is something that everyone has. This is the tachlis. They are going to realize that the world is something more. ואברהם אבינו הראשון מורס הגזוב בכל כל שלטו של עשי אב בזה לכל כולהי זה פורנצו סטר צלו מה ישראלי בייחוד נאמר ביצחק יקר לחזר שאף על פי שהיה אב אין הם קוראים זרוי.
So אברהם אבינו, even though he's the father of all nations, but his children, direct descendants, is only Israel.
כי נקרא, כי זרע נקרא משל דתו כמו אב.
You know the difference between being a father of nations and being a descendant? The descendant is a clone copy. Everybody else is impacted, is influenced. Wannabes, right? The idea of the children of Avraham, the direct descendants, is the one that carries his legacy, their clones.
ואין הזרע צריך לשום פעולה להיות דומה לדבר הבזריע, אשר מיר לטבע תולדה.
And you know what is also interesting? That you don't have to do anything to be like that. By being a descendant, it's part of your DNA. Avraham Avinu, and I'm just going to finish this before because I think there is something going on in the show. Avraham Avinu gave to the Jewish people in our DNA this connection to God that today is natural by us. And let me explain to you how I always understood. If you look at the story of Avraham Avinu, we start here in Avraham and Hashem tells him, Lech Lecha, go and leave your father's house to the land I tell you. You realize that Avraham Avinu is 75 years old then. Avraham Avinu knows HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his search for a God from the age at least of 48 to 75. And he had so many struggles. The Midrash says he was thrown in Kivshan HaEsh and he was done. So much struggle to find God. The Quran is full of that struggle and the Bible is quiet about it. We don't even know. This guy, Avraham Avinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, hello, please come to my land. What is this struggle of Avraham? But you know what the answer is? Very simple. Because the Torah is not telling us a history. It's not a chronology. It's telling us a lesson for us to emulate. The faith, the search of faith of Avraham is not something that we have to emulate. Because once Avraham acquired the faith, he became ingrained in part of the DNA. Today is natural by us. That's what the Torah says. It's natural by us. So what Avraham did from the age of 48 to the age of 3 to the age of 75, it's irrelevant to us. It's a nice story to know. You could take your kids when the Midrash says and says all these amazing stories of Avraham, but they're irrelevant. Because what he had to struggle for us is natural. This idea that humans want to connect to God, he gave to the whole world, but to the Jewish people becomes part of the nature. Like Rabbi Chanan always says, Jewish faith is in our hearts. We could easily fool it and quiet it down or distort or have some static noise. But that's inherent in us. And that's the Chiddush of Avraham. Avraham gave to the Jewish people a natural, almost subconscious face. The subconscious, if you look at the collective unconscious of the Jewish people, is this faith to God. That when push comes to shove, people would die al Kiddush Hashem without asking any questions. That's why it makes sense that you ask a child to go ahead and to keep mitzvahs at the age of 13. What can decision the guy, 13-year-old boy? I always see that they make always this idea, the child becomes an adult at the age of 13. What child becomes an adult? Because if you have to make a choice, it should take a lot longer. But the idea is for the Jews, that choice was made and is part of us. And that's what we believe. We believe that Jewish life, this is our collective unconscious. And that's what makes us not Avraham, our forefather, but we are the descendants of Avraham because it's imprinted in our spiritual DNA, the collective unconscious, the ability to connect to God, the search, and the emunah. Have a good Bochum and a good Chodesh.